Holy Spirit, I ask you to help me today to speak what I need to speak. Lord, to say what you're saying, to hear what you're speaking. Open my eyes, my ears, Lord, to you. Shut me in with you, Lord, right now. Sanctify me unto you, Lord, in every heart and every ear here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Christmas is about the incarnation. And I really feel it's important to remind us about this fact. People have all kinds of opinions about Jesus. Who is he? And there's nothing new under the sun. You know, even in his day, people were asking, well, who do you say that I am? Jesus said, and people said, well, you might be Elijah. You might be John the Baptist. You know, there's all kinds of persuasions. People are trying to figure out who Jesus is, and all kinds of different Jesuses are being presented today, you know, so it's kind of like this smorgasbord of Jesuses. You just choose the one that you like, the one that fits you. Well, my Jesus is like me, you know. Jesus would approve of my life and what I do and what I think. Yeah, in fact, if I thought it, it must be Jesus, because I had it, that thought, you know. I'm just so sanctified and so spiritual. Whenever I hear something or I think something, it's got to be right because it was my opinion, you know. How many know we all have an opinion, right? But that's not necessarily the truth. We need to get into agreement with what is authentic, what is real. And if you know what is real, you won't be duped by what is fake. Boy, are we seeing that in the news today or what? All kinds of stuff being spread around in the news. And boy, you got to keep your head in heaven. Amen. Keep your eyes upon Jesus and in his word. Hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you, because it's vital. Your life depends upon it today. That word incarnation means the embodiment of a deity or spirit in some earthly form. The embodiment of deity in some earthly form. That's what the word incarnate means. And in Matthew 1:23, it says, behold, the virgin, turn to your neighbor and say, virgin, shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Capital G, God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. And listen, did not know her. Now, wait a minute. I thought they were in conversation already. I mean, she was his wife, right? Did not know her. And until what? She brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. All right. There's a little confusion out there, and people want to undermine the truth that's in the Word. The devil's a mastermind at deception, because if he can destroy the foundations, who can stand, you know? And so, again, there are so many different persuasions and presentations of who Jesus is, but we know Jesus according to the Scriptures and by the witness of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus was more than just a good man. He was more than a prophet. Amen? He was the Son, capital S, of God. Hallelujah. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Christmas is about God coming in flesh to us. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But the Bible says that the Word came unto his own. Amen. Jesus became a man. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, and without controversy or question, great is the mystery of godliness. What is the mystery of godliness? What is it that people stumble over and over again? It's this: God was manifest in the flesh. The prophet Micah prophesied 700 years prior to the incarnation concerning the Christ child, Jesus Christ. Micah 5:2, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you were little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose going forths have been from old, from what? From everlasting. The Bible over and over again repeats the theme that Jesus was more than just a good man, folks. That he was the Messiah, the appointed one. God actually taking on humanity and coming to this earth. Jesus took upon himself the form of a man. But he was Christ. Amen? The anointed one. He was God and man. He came to be a sacrificial offering for us. That means he was coming to die in our place for us. Hebrews 10:5. Therefore, when he, capital H, he came into the world, Jesus, he said, sacrifice an offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. Who's he speaking to? It's Jesus in conversation with the Father. But a body you have prepared for me. When he came into the world, a body had been given to him. Amen. And this is again speaking of his incarnation. Hebrews 10:6. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. God never took delight in all the sacrifices, the blood sacrifices that were done under the Old Testament, under the law. But they were for a time and for a season, for a temporary covering. However, they were not able to ever blot out the fact that we are sinners, amen, and cleanse our hearts completely and make us holy. They're only simply a short-term solution to a long-term problem. And Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, amen, became our sacrifice. And he paid in full for our sins, amen, once and for all, so that we can be forgiven. Our sins can be blotted out. God says, I'll cast them as far as the east is to the west, into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered anymore. I don't know about you, but that sounds like good news to me. That we don't have to worry, we don't have to be in fear, we don't have to live in shame anymore. I don't have to continually live out of the past, amen? Because my past is redeemed, amen? It's been dealt with already by the blood of Jesus Christ, my Lord. If I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. The devil is a liar. The devil wants to put you back into condemnation, keep you in that place of unbelief. He doesn't want you to believe the report that God gave us about his son. This quote is from Psalms 40, by the way. And it's, again, it's talking about the fact that God didn't, you know, take any delight in these sacrifices. But they were really types and shadows. These animals were given as a type to show us Christ. Everything that God had instructed Israel to do when it came to the ceremonial law was to give us a picture of Jesus and his atonement, what he would accomplish on our behalf. The priest didn't understand why they had to do what they had to do, you know, in preparation of the lamb and why it had to be without spot or blemish. But God told him to do this, pick out a lamb without spot or blemish. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, was without sin, without spot or blemish. Amen. They didn't understand why that they needed to take the blood, amen, once a year after they were cleansed. And they had to go behind this thick curtain about 6 inches thick called the veil into the most holy place and sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat, amen, which represented God's presence on earth, and confess the sins not only of the priest but of the people. And that represents Jesus Christ, who was our high priest, who with his own blood went behind the veil on our behalf. And there's blood on the mercy seat in the presence of the Father that speaketh better things than that of Abel. It speaks of mercy, grace. Hallelujah. There's mercy and grace at the cross. Thank God. Amen. That we don't have to bear the penalty of our own sins. If we will turn to Jesus and receive his gift, receive his life, receive his forgiveness. If we're willing to trust the Lord with our life. Hebrews 10:1 says, the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifice which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. And you know, a good line to use with a Jew is, well, since there's no longer any temple sacrifice for sin, How do you deal with your sin problem today? You see, it all ended with Christ, didn't it? When that veil was rent in two, God Himself opened the way into the holiest. And in verse 2 it says, "For then would they not have ceased to be offered, for the worshipers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins." But they didn't. See, that's the thing. The awesome thing about the blood of Jesus is that He deals with your conscience too. Amen? The blood of Christ can purge or cleanse your conscience so that you can have peace with God and have confidence in approaching Him. When we have a bad conscience, anybody beside myself had a bad conscience at least once? You know? How many have confidence in coming before God with a bad conscience? We don't, right? As a matter of fact, a lot of people don't come to God, they don't come to church, they don't come to fellowship because of a bad conscience. Because they don't know that the blood of Christ is there to purge, to cleanse, to make whole that conscience again. Amen? So that you can come with full confidence in the blood of Christ and approach the throne of our Father with boldness. What did bring pleasure to God was the Lord's willingness to do His will, to do the will of the Father. That's what pleased the Father. Because Jesus was willing to do what the Father wanted, regardless of the cost. Jesus said, "No man takes my life from me, but I lay it down willingly for my sheep." Nobody forced Jesus to that cross, folks. He had to submit Himself and His will to the Father's will. And out of love for you and me, He laid down His life. He gave His life out of love for you. How can we not give ourselves back to Him and live the rest of our lives for Him who died? Jesus proved His willingness because He did it freely on the altar of sacrifice. They didn't understand why God told them to take the lamb and to roast it completely, a whole burnt offering on the brazen altar. It was just a continual fire that was there, and they would take the offering and it would be as a smoke ascended to heaven. That represented the sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf. He became that whole offering on our behalf, folks. You see that? Over and over again throughout the scriptures, we see patterns, we see pictures, we see shadows of what it was all about. They didn't understand a lot, but today we've got the revelation. We've had the veil removed. We can have the Holy Spirit as a teacher and who can unveil us and show us these things and say it was all done because He loved you that much. God didn't leave us alone. He didn't say, "You're just going to have to die in your sin. I'm going to make a way for you to escape the wrath of God. I'm going to make a way for you even to be able to stand in the judgment. If you will come by way of repentance, if you will turn away from your ways and walk in my ways and trust in my blood, you can have life and life to the full." That's what He came to do. He didn't come to take away our life. He didn't come to ruin our fun. Amen. God came to give us life and life to the full. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm having a better time now in my life than I ever did before. With all the partying I did, I thought I was having a good time. Getting up in the morning and puking, and oh, that was so much fun, you know. Man, I tell you what, there's nothing like the new wine, amen. The Spirit of God that rejoices your heart and brings you to a higher realm, a plane that cannot be compared to anything that this world, amen, can give you. Got to go to the Most High, yes, sir. In the New Living Translation, Hebrews 10:1, it says this. Just listen, if you would. "The old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come. And the good things themselves, the sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship." The good news gospel means good news, right? It means that God is providing for us, praise God, perfect cleansing. I don't know about you, but I need perfect cleansing. And so these are the names that were given to Jesus, amen, that spoke of His deity. Are you ready? Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. What is it talking about? A child is speaking of his humanity, right? And a son is talking about the Word of God that became the Son of God, Jesus Christ, God in flesh. A child was given, amen, and a son is given. The child is born and a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. What is this government? Well, we're talking about basically all authority has been given unto Jesus. Amen. All governments, including, of course, the kingdom of heaven. Amen. He's king of the kingdom of heaven. And he's going to reign, folks, whether people like it or not. I know a lot of people are mocking right now. A lot of people are laughing. But Jesus is coming, just like he said. He's coming to rule, he's coming to reign, and he's coming, amen, in clouds of glory. Every eye is going to see him in that day. Are you ready to meet Jesus? Are you going to be ready to stand? Who shall stand in that day when Jesus comes? Who would be able to stand in that day? I tell you what, the only ones that are going to be able to stand in that day are those who have their robes washed in the blood of the Lamb, amen? That our hearts are right with God. And only God can do that for you. You can't save yourself. Your goodness will never be good enough. We need His goodness. We need to be clothed in Him and His righteousness. Thank God the blood makes us, amen, ready or in position to receive His righteousness. Hallelujah. Jesus is going to sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem. The day is coming. Did you know that? He's actually coming. He's going to put his feet down on the Mount of Olives, and he's going to reign over all the earth from Jerusalem. Isaiah 9:7, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. What does it say? With judgment and justice. Oh, am I looking forward to that? Number two, one day there will be true justice on the earth. Amen. Isaiah 11, verse 3. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes. How many times does man judge by appearance? Nor decide by the hearing of his ears. All right, how many times have we been judged because somebody whispered in somebody's ear? Somebody told a little fib, a little lie, exaggerated. I think we can just look at our political system and see maybe a little of that's going on too. Except the media is being, they're broadcasting it, amen. It's not like in the ear anymore. And then there's going to be equity for the poor. It's going to be fair. There's going to be fairness. Isaiah 11:4, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Number four, the enmity between animals is going to cease too. And the word enmity means hatred or ill will. So right now we see, even in the animal kingdom, folks, everything in creation is fallen because of mankind's fall. Because we were given dominion over everything. So everything suffered, including the animal kingdom. Even animals, you know, they suffer. And they're devouring each other. But that's going to change, folks. Listen, in Isaiah 11:6, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. Wow. A little kid carrying, you know, leading a lion. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. It could be vegetarians. Mankind will no longer be endangered by animals and reptiles. That's verse 8. It says in verse 8, the nursing child shall what? Play by the cobra's hole. And the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. Number 6, all violence will be removed from the earth. That's verse 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. How many are looking forward to a day when there ain't going to be any more violence? No more war. Swords shall be beaten into plowshares and nations will not learn war again. And the entire earth is going to become productive again. And that's Isaiah 35. Let's take a look at that. Verse 1. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful of heart, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame man shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. That means dumb means someone that can't talk. For water shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. How many see that happening already in the spirit? Isn't it interesting that what happens in the natural first happens in the spirit? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for times of refreshing in your presence. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals, where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Also, Isaiah 35:10 says that great joy, turn to your neighbor and say, great joy will characterize this kingdom. It's going to characterize this kingdom, Isaiah 35:10. And the ransomed of the Lord, those are the ones who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, shall return and come to Zion. Where's Zion at? City of God, amen? Jerusalem, that's right. With singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing, or sorrow will flee away. Amen? Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is the promise of God, all made possible because Jesus came. The names of the Christ child were such. Isaiah 9:6, look at it again. His name shall be called Wonderful, and that word wonderful means miracle, yeah, or miracle. His birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, his eternal priesthood, all of that is miraculous. His name will also be called Counselor, which means guide, and one who cares or is compassionate, one who understands us. Aren't you glad that we have a high priest who is faithful, who understands our weakness, he knows what we're going through? He's been here. He's walked this earth, folks. The mighty God is also his name. Interesting. Here it is. These are all, folks, pointing to what? The fact that Jesus was more than just a good man or a prophet. You know, in Islam, they say that Allah has no son. That's a lie. Amen. In fact, our God's name is Jehovah. Amen. It's not Allah, period. It's not the same God. If you want to talk to me later. But, folks, listen, we understand that Jesus never mentioned Allah. He never mentioned Muhammad. Yet Jesus is mentioned many times in the Quran. That's a message for another day, isn't it? But the mighty God, for with God, it says in Mark 10:27, all things are possible. There's no problem too big for him. In Mark 4 and verse 41, they said, even the wind and the waves obey him. Who was this man? They were blown away. They thought, well, Jesus is just one of the guys, you know, but he's just a little more spiritual than us, until Jesus started, you know, really revealing himself to them through, come on, that was a big one, right? Death itself could not hold him in the grave. His name will also be called the Everlasting Father. Now hear this, folks, just a few more minutes. John 8:58. What did Jesus say? Before Abraham was, I am. Oh, that really messed with them, man, because they wanted to take him out. They were looking for something to pin on him so that they could get rid of him, because he was stealing their thunder, you know. All the people were looking at the religious leaders and the Pharisees, and now Jesus shows up, and guess what? I said, we're done with you stuffed shirts, you know? We're going after the real thing here, man. Jesus is the real deal. Amen? Hallelujah. He didn't come to give us religion, right? He came to give us life and life more abundantly. And so here's the everlasting Father before Abraham was, I am. And then they said, we're going to have to pick up stones and we're going to have to kill this guy because you, being a man, claim to be God. They knew what he was saying. Yeah. Jesus himself, by what he said, claimed to be God. 1 John 5:12 says, he who has the Son, capital S-O-N, has life. In John 1:3, it says, all things were made through him. In other words, Jesus was the giver of life. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right or the authority to become sons of God. Small S's. The Prince of Peace. John 14:27, peace, Jesus said, I leave with you. See, Jesus said, I've come, and all that had been written about me, I've come in the fullness of that to reveal to you that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. I'm the way. Amen. He's not one of many. You're not going to get to God through Buddha or Muhammad in any other way. You're only going to come through the Son. Amen. Through Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is the Prince of Peace. And that's why in Philippians 4 and verse 6 and 7, it says that we don't need to be anxious for anything. We don't need to be stressed out about anything because we have peace with our Lord. Amen. And we can find peace in him. Again, your life is going to go in the direction of your focus. So if you're focused on just the problems around you, if you're focusing in on the wrong voice, if you're listening to the wrong voice, anybody beside myself ever caught yourself doing that at least once? We've all done that, haven't we? We've listened to that wrong voice before. And we've just said, man, that was stupid. You know, at least we hope we come to that conclusion, right? And I decided that, you know, years ago that God's a lot smarter than me. And it's to my advantage that I start listening. Amen? Don't make it harder on yourself than you have to be. Start listening to God. He's always right. Not just sometimes. He's always right because he is the truth. So this Christmas story is not just a cute story of a baby in a manger, but about the Son of God who came to pay the ultimate price for our sins. The Son of Man. In Luke 19:10 it says, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. He first sought us. Why did Jesus use the term Son of Man? Because he was also born, right? With a body. He was given a body. God had prepared a body. But that body was not connected to any earthly father. Amen. That body was not connected to Joseph. Mary didn't have an affair with somebody. A virgin shall conceive. It is a miracle child, a supernatural thing that God did. So that bloodline in that Christ child could not be connected to the tainted blood of Adam by which all of us have been born into this world with. And that is what condemns us, is because we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The only way to be made right with God is to be born again. To be born of His Spirit, to become a new creation in Christ Jesus. We must first be cleansed in the precious blood of Christ. Amen? The only blood that can atone for our sin. And then to receive the Spirit of the Lord. Because if you do not have the Spirit of Christ in you, you're not His. You will not see eternity. You will not see the Lord. In that day, you will not be able to stand in the judgment. You understand, folks, if they want to reject this message and they want to refuse the voice of God when he's speaking and he's pleading for people to come now, I've made every provision for you. I've made it possible for you to be forgiven. I've made it possible for you to be united with me, to receive my Spirit and become a son and daughter of mine. I've done everything that needed to be done so that you could escape the wrath that is coming upon the world and all the ungodly of this world, which all of us have been a part of. God is saying, if you refuse that, this is the only hope that you have, then you will get what you chose. People are in hell because they chose their own way over God's way. They refuse to bow their knee to Christ and to give Him their lives. Jesus said, if you try to save your life, you'll lose it. What is He talking about? He's saying, I'm not here to patch you up and just improve your life and make you a little better. I'm here to scrap that old one and give you a brand new heart, a brand new life, born of the Spirit of life from above. And when you're born again, you become a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Amen. The light is on. Hallelujah. And somebody's home. Jesus is home. Hallelujah. And then if He's home, you got to make Him, amen, your invited guest. You've got to give Him the best place, the seat of honor in your life. Jesus, you can sit anywhere you want in this house. Amen. You can check out the attic. You can check out the basement. Amen. Yeah, you go into the closet and look in my drawers too. There's nothing I've got to hide because, Lord, I believe that You're here to help me. So I give You permission. Amen. To come in, turn the light on. Amen. Drive out the darkness. Sweep away the cobwebs. Kick the bones out of the closet. Amen. Get rid of that sin problem. See, a lot of people, they'll give God a little bit, but they won't give Him the whole offering. And folks, you can't have Him until you're ready to give Him all. Right. Have you ever been disappointed when you really trusted God with all of you? Have you ever been disappointed when you did that? Do you ever regret it while you're here? You came, right? Amen. Folks, there's somebody here, and maybe several here today, that have really never done that. But God is not calling us, folks, to just do some religious activity, attend church, sing a song, whatever, you know, pay tithe. He says, I want you. I bled and died for you so that you could be mine, so you could come into fellowship with me. You could become a son and a daughter, and I can share my kingdom with you. We are united with Him through His blood, the blood of the covenant. We are espoused to Him. We're married to Jesus. We're not to have any other gods. Amen. We're not to put anything before our God. We are to keep ourselves pure because He is coming for a church without spot or blemish. He's coming for a prepared, ready people. And if you're not ready today, folks, I want to encourage you to quit playing games, amen, and playing church and occasional doing this and occasional doing this. You got to give your life up if you want to find it. You want to save your life? You're going to have to give your life up for Jesus Christ. You see, a lot of young people, too, they have this delusion that, well, I said the sinner's prayer. But they never repented. They've never really given God their life. They just give God some spare change, and once in a while I do a little thing just to kind of keep a connection there. Folks, unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom. And you will not be born again until you come to the end of yourself and you're willing to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. That's what it took for me, and I know that's what God is saying to you as well. Amen? Is He really Lord of your life? Lord means that, Lord, You decide now. It's not what I want to do, it's what You want me to do. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. When I think about the cross, when I think about everything that Jesus did for me, how He suffered, how He willingly laid His life down for me. He gave it all up. He took my place. I deserved to be on that cross, but He took my place there. It's the reasonable thing for me to do is say, Jesus, the rest of my life now, I live for You. I offer my body back to You. See, we can say that, folks, with our minds, but our hearts have to be there. We can agree with that and say that's a true statement, but my heart means, you know, God, honestly, I'm being honest now. I'm ready to die to myself. I'm ready to give up my life because I want Your life. I want your eternal life. I want your abundant life. Would you bow your heads this morning? Now, folks, you can do one of two things today. You can receive what was said, which I'm telling you is right out of the Word of God, out of the Scriptures. Or you can reject it. Or you can rationalize things and reason things out in your mind. You can make excuses of why I don't need to do that, or I'm not going to do that right now. But maybe one of these days I'll get right with God. Do you really believe that you have one of these days? You just believe that, you know, you got tomorrow for sure. How many of us know that we're going to be here tomorrow? We don't know that. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Today is the opportunity for you. Tomorrow may never come. That's just the facts. That's just reality. You need to give your life to Jesus Christ. You need to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. If you refuse this message today and you walk out that door and something happens to you, you may take your last breath. Who knows? It's going to be forever and eternally too late for you. You will not be able to change your mind once you die. Today is the day of salvation. Please listen to what I'm telling you. You need to quit playing games. God doesn't want our religious activity. He wants our hearts. He paid for us in blood. He deserves us in full. You understand? If you want His fullness, you're going to have to give Him yours. You want His life, you're going to have to give up yours. You want to live forever, die to yourself. And right where you're at, I want you to talk to the Lord Jesus. If that's what you want, you want to give Him your life today, I want you to talk to Jesus right where you're at. And I want you to ask Him to forgive you. Forgive you for being a rebel and refusing to allow Him to be Lord of your life. And trying to save your life. Ask the Lord Jesus to save you. Ask Him to forgive you. Ask Him to come into your heart and make you a new creation. You need to surrender. Say, Lord, I give you my life. I give you my body. I give you my mind. I give you my spirit. Now, Lord, I ask you to give me your life and life more abundantly. Now I'm going to take it a step further. There's one more thing you need to do, and this is what Jesus said. Is you need to confess Him before men. He says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. But if you deny me before men, I will also deny you before my Holy Father and His angels. You want your name confessed in heaven? That I want you to do something bold, but I want you to do it between you and the Lord right now. You got to get over the fear of man. And I want you to stand up and let somebody know that you made a decision to give your life to Jesus Christ. Just stand up and let somebody know around you. Maybe you're here and you just need to recommit your life because you've backslidden and you're far from God. But God's calling you back. Get your life right. Get your heart straight with Him today. Just stand up if that's you today. Hallelujah. Folks, I've found out something. That God never embarrasses you. Your flesh might get embarrassed. But folks, God doesn't embarrass. And I've discovered that when I do what my flesh sometimes tells me I shouldn't do because I'd look foolish, I find that I'm never ashamed. Whenever I've opened my mouth for Jesus Christ and told somebody or made a public confession of Him, I've never been ashamed. But I've been ashamed when I haven't spoken out when I should have and I haven't made a decision. Not everybody will be saved. Jesus said there's only going to be a few that are saved. He says, many will go the wide road. Many will go the way of self-will. They'll refuse his way for their own way. And he said, they will perish. But there will be few. Narrow or difficult or confined is the way that leads to life, and there are few. How many are going to say, Lord, I want to be one of those few. I want to be saved.